Michael Virtus, a tall beanpole of a man with a crooked nose, spotted them first. He was well known to the local cops and had a long record, including numerous weapons and assault charges. He sauntered down the front steps and stopped on the last one. The other men clustered around him like groupies. Virtus laughed like a maniac.
"Well, what have we got here?"
"Keep an eye on the short one," Ryan said to her quietly. "He's too fidgety." Victory's pulse sped up. The short one might have been height limited, but he had a thick neck and was bulked unnaturally with muscle. She stopped and planted her feet firmly on the ground in case she needed to use the weapon. Her eyes shifted back and forth to each man.
"We just want to talk to you, Virtus."
"You're trespassing."
He shot her a cocky grin.
"Can't you pigs read the signs?"
"Tell them to get the hell out of here,"
the shortest man of the group said, as he flicked his cigarette butt over the porch railing.
We were promptly accosted by a tidy middle-aged man in a dove gray suit. He grabbed my hand and shook it like crazy, saying,
"So glad you could come."
Then there was an imposing native in a suede-fringed jacket who said,
"Welcome to the group."
He was followed by a nice librarian-type lady. "Welcome," she said, as she shook our hands with both of hers. A very tall guy wearing granny glasses and an eye-popping swirly t-shirt smiled sweetly at us.
"Peace, eh? And have a cool meeting."
His head was covered in 1,000 tiny moving braids. The guy was a walking willow tree. Auntie Eva ignored his outstretched hand and fingered his t-shirt instead.
"Darling, this is too fantastic. How did you do this?"
"Dear Lord."
"Sophie. Psst. Sophie."
Auntie Ridmilla grabbed my ear.
"Is this a homosexual type person?"
"No, Auntie Ridmilla," I whispered as I bent down. "He's a hippie."
"Ah, hippie."
She beamed at him.
"Pada."
"Pada" means of course in Croatian. The exclamation mark is implied.
Ted focused all his attention on Madge, and Madge was so absorbed by Ted that she didn't know anyone else existed. This left Kitty and Sammy in an awkward position, strangers with little to talk about. Add to that the longing Kitty felt when Ted's expressive lips curved up into that infectious smile. A smile he directed at Madge, not her. Kitty forced her attention away from the flirting man and glanced out the window.
"It's a beautiful day," she commented, wishing she could escape Ted's company.
"Yeah,"
Sammy followed her gaze.
"Makes you want to get outside."
Kitty turned to face Sammy. She had an idea, if he was willing.
"You wouldn't be interested in going for a walk, would you?"
"Walk? Where?" Good God, how clumsy he was. He barely knew Miss Bart, however much he craved her company. Flustered, Miss Bart looked as if she longed for escape.
I was seeing my dressmaker, Mr. Rosedale, on the way to a house party at Gus and Judy Trenner's country home."
Mrs. Trenner was one of New York's wealthiest hostesses, given to lordly disregard of her rivals and wanton expenditure on her gowns, her jewels, and her entertainments. She was naturally envied, but only up to a point. For the source of this prodigality was her husband, Gus, a soulless brute, even by New York standards.
"Your dressmaker? Is that a fact? I wasn't aware of any dressmakers in the Benedict,"
Rosedale noted, glancing up with nearly paternal admiration at the imposing white limestone facade, with its striped awnings and window boxes filled with petunias and mignonette.